Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now, okay? Father, I want to thank you for each person here. I pray that you bless them through your word, by your spirit. I pray that we will go home, Father, that much more fortified in our faith and in our commitment and in our love for you. We need to be that much more bolder and stronger in you, in this world, and in our own circumstances, as you would have us to be. We're so thankful that you have already empowered us to be who you've called us to be in any and every situation we face. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. A while back, we saw on the news that African American church, they're having a Bible study and prayer meeting. A young white male came in. They welcomed him warmly, had him join their group. And while they were praying, he opened up and shot them, killed them. It's horrible, right? We know that there have been others that have been shot, pastors that have been shot. We know that synagogues have been burnt down. We know that there is an affront against the church and God's people. And it's very tragic, and it's very, very sad. What astounded me, and I'm sure if you followed that report and the after effects of that, what astounded me, I'm sure astounded you as well, that some representatives of the families that were killed were on TV and on the news and sharing their testimony. They said, we've forgiven that shooter. We've forgiven the shooter, and we're not bitter against him. And we want him to know that God loves him and can forgive him too. And how astounding is that? But also how bewildering is the word for the world that's watching in on Christian behavior, but probably astonished that Christians that were part of that family and part of that church family who lost loved ones and relatives and people that they knew, obviously, would come so humbly on TV and say, we forgive them, we want them to know that God loves them and cares about them. And their witness was one of grace and mercy and forgiveness and love. That's powerful, because that certainly isn't the way of the world, is it? It certainly isn't. And so they did this. They said the reason why they did this is, one, because God wants them to do that. But the other is because they knew that if they held on to bitterness and unforgiveness, that it would act as a source of spiritual cancer in their lives, and it would greatly affect their life and their walk with Jesus, and it would greatly affect the body of believers at their church, because it would destroy them. Bitterness is a spiritual cancer. The lack of forgiveness is a cancer spiritually in our lives that we need to deal with in a humble, forgiving manner. That's what God led them to do, and that's what we're called to do. And this is why this is so important. The title of the message today is Formidable Opponent. Formidable Opponent. And that means that we as believers in the body of Christ during this church age in particular have to have a witness and a testimony that stands so firm that it doesn't knock us back, that it doesn't push us back, that it doesn't cause us to retract into our own cubbyhole and hide. That's what those ladies that I saw that shared that testimony on TV were doing. They're saying, in spite of this horrendous attack, this approach of power that was out of their control, that was coming against them, they stood up as God would have them to, and it showed strength, it showed faith, it showed love, mercy, humbleness, forgiveness, all those things, in of which brought glory to God. So the world's watching on, they would think that the church would retract and fall apart because of such a tragedy, and instead they were stronger in their testimony. And that's where we as a church are called to be a formidable opponent against the world who hates what we represent in the word. Now, when I say that, we know the spiritual warfare. The spiritual warfare is that Satan or Lucifer is the prince of the air of this world, and I call all of his fallen angels with him and demonic activity around him his minions. You know, Satan and his minions are doing their work all the time, in particular against the church. And we know throughout history that the church has been persecuted. Why? Because we represent the truth of God's word, and the word became flesh and we beheld him, right? Scripture says, who is Jesus, whom you and I know by the confirmation of the Spirit that lives in our heart. So we are called to stand as a formidable force in a world that hates light. We are called to be that formidable force that says we will not be pushed back, but we will stand firm in Christ Jesus our Lord in any given circumstance. So let me say, don't let the church be immobilized by fear. Instead, embolden the church with courage. You know, if we are immobilized by fear, I want to stop right there and talk about that just for a moment, that when circumstances hit us, and we are like this COVID thing and restrictions and all those types of things, that when we are struck by fear, we are immobilized as a church. Now, does that mean that we operate the same way? Not necessarily. The church has been persecuted throughout the centuries, right? And in that, through persecution, they found ways to stay faithful to the Great Commission of sharing the gospel. They found ways to encourage brothers and sisters in Christ. They found ways to be stronger in faith and to actively be involved in the work that God has called them to do. It just wasn't done the traditional way that they would like to. And so we as believers sometimes have to regroup and replan and re-strategize based upon the circumstances that we're in, given that we don't have Sunday school right now, okay? But what we do have is we have a children's program on video, the Waymakers. And so with that, we've tried to shift a way to minister to our children since they aren't here yet for Sunday school. But we're still accomplishing the work. We're getting the word out. We're ministering to them and encouraging them. So we're not to allow ourselves to be immobilized by fear, but instead embolden the church with courage. How do we embolden the church with courage? How do we do that for one another? One, we show that we're not becoming overwhelmed by life's circumstances, but we're going to the Word of God, and we're going to God in prayer, and we're standing on the truth and promises of Christ, and we're not allowing ourselves to find ourselves overwhelmed, immobilized, and crumbling within our own walk. We're standing strong for Jesus. And when we take those stands and those positions as believers in Christ, we're encouraging one another to be strong as well. And so when we're strong in our faith based upon the truth of God's word that we stand on, based upon our walk and relationship with Jesus Christ, and brothers and sisters in Christ see that, when we see that we're not being knocked down, but we're reformatting how we do things as it is necessary for us to do, then we are showing that we are still on course, still on mission to do the work that God has called us to do. Amen? All right. So the COVID-19 virus and civil authority and mandates, etc., have created fear in people. But God doesn't want us to be a fearful people. He wants us to have courage and strength in Him. Now, don't let me misguide you. I'm not saying that there's a judgment call on whether you're here or not. I'm not saying that at all. I've come to a place, as I've prayed about it, that God has said, you know, He's reminded me out of James 4:17, that he who thinks it's sin and does it, sins. We all have to keep our conscience clear and right before God and do what we believe to be right in standing up for Jesus. But in whatever circumstance we're in our own personal life, no matter what position we take, we are always to stand as a formidable force of faith and love in Christ Jesus, to be a witness and a testimony to those around us. So uncertainty of exposure or reprisal has attacked the formidableness of the local church. Do you know what I'm saying about that? I mean, we have people that are overcome by the circumstances of this terrible virus that's killed so many and affected so many lives and affected our culture so much that they've been engulfed in fear. And that fear is kept them at a place to where they can't seem to move in any direction. They're just stuck where they are. And that creates a problem That creates a situation that can very easily bring them to a place that they're taking their eyes off of Jesus and the truth of his word, because our strength comes through him. And our trust in him and his word encourages us to stand strong. And so when we're taking a stand as a church to be where we are, you know, fortunately and prayer, and thankfully, today is the first time that we were allowed to have people come back to church. But we've been coming back to church because we as individuals chose that. And there are those that chose not to. They have to do what's right in their own heart before God to keep a clear conscience before him. And we need to respect that. But in each given circumstance, we must make our stand clear that we have not fallen off the rock of Jesus Christ in our life. We have not allowed the circumstance to so overwhelm us and convolute our thinking that we are not functioning as God would have us to. We have to be careful, and that's what I mean by that, that the uncertainty of exposure or reprisal, the uncertainty of am I going to catch this virus has terrified me, or the reprisal of standing up for Jesus, however you choose to do so, that you know the enemy is going to attack or bring some sort of rebuke against you, if you will. And that can be spiritual, and that can be physical or civil in authority, whatever the case might be. So uncertainty of exposure or reprisal has attacked the formidableness of the local church. Do you understand what I'm saying about that? The formidableness of the church is the courage and the strength of the church standing firm on Christ Jesus our Lord, being the people he's called us to be in any given circumstance. Think about all the Christians throughout history that we've noted that have died by fire, by drowning, by being eaten alive by wild animals, by being split apart, by all these horrific, terrible things, because the prince of the air of this world wants to attack everyone who stands up for Jesus. That's why so many are not willing to stand up for Jesus, even though they're believers in Christ. That was the illustration, that we have one paper that has no strength to stand. The other one who's standing in the power of the Holy Spirit, the truth of God's word, standing on Jesus Christ, their rock and security against the odds, against the situations that they're facing, still being bold for Christ Jesus. But not everybody has chose to take that approach because they're afraid of what the recompense of that is going to entail on their lives. And so, in other words, let me just say it this way. Fear, dread, or apprehensions have gripped many believers to the point that there's a spiritual paralysis or an emotional paralysis that inhibits them from being what God wants them to be in their own given situation, which takes away from the power of the church within the world that we live in. So if the church backs down, if the church is weak because they're afraid, if the church is not being what God would have them to be in their own individual lives and collectively, then that force and presence of the power of the church is not as evident, going back to those ladies who gave testament that they'd forgiven that attacker that shot their friends and family in front of them, but had forgiven them and showed love and mercy and humility and joy in the Lord in doing so. That's power in their circumstance, showing the formidableness of the power of God and his church in a world that we live in. Not retracting, but standing firm. Not in fear, but in confidence and sound mind. That's what God wants us to be as his people. That's what we've seen throughout the ages in the church age. People who have stood up strong for Jesus Christ. God wants you to be strong in faith and courage. Be a formidable opponent. He doesn't want us to be a victim of formidable forces from the world. God doesn't want us to be rolled over by the pressures of the world. But God wants us to show them, you may try to roll over us, but we have strength in Christ. We stand firm in him. And that should become a formidable or impression upon you of who you're dealing with in Christ Jesus. That make sense? Okay. So I want to look at that that fact, of course, that we are to, as a church, I want to make it clear that we are not to stand down. We are not to be pushed back in our stance on the truth of God's word. We're always supposed to defend the word of God. Even before all this, every principle in here is to be upheld by believers in Christ. And as the world attacks the word of God, says it's not relevant or it doesn't fit our moral standards or whatever the case, or whatever charge they have against the word of God, you and I are to, out of love for Christ, are to stand firm by the power of the Holy Spirit, saying, you know, you may not like it, but this is what God says. And we need to adhere to that if we are going to stand strong in Christ. We need to make decisions that put us in a place where we stand strong on the rock of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, I want to look at a scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. That word steadfast means to stand firm. Be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now that's what God is commanding us through the Apostle Paul as he wrote this letter to the church of Corinth. He's telling us, first of all, we are loved by God. Paul loves us as a brother in Christ. And he's saying, and with all the odds that stand against you as the early church, as and all the persecution and all the murdering of the saints, and all the government reprisal of who you are as you represent God, stand firm. That's what steadfast means. Be immovable. Don't allow the situation that we're facing in our own personal lives or in the world that we live in cause us to slip off the rock of Jesus Christ. Our security is secure, but when I'm saying slipping off the rock, I'm saying don't allow ourselves to be wavered in our faith to where we slip off and don't stand for Jesus. We need to stand as God has called us to. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's a negative way of saying something positive. And what I mean by that is saying knowing that your labor is not in vain could be said another way, knowing that your labor is valuable to God. Right? Our labor for the Lord's valuable to God. It's valuable in His eyes. It reflects our love for Him. It reflects our commitment to Him. It reflects our journey with Him that we are going to live for and serve the Lord and stand upright in His power as His people for Him and His glory. But I want to go back just for a moment and go back to verse 50. You don't have it on your board, and Kathy didn't know it, but I want to go back. I want to read real fast through this. Why is it that we are called to serve the Lord, and why is it pleasing to God? A little bit more clearly, and this, just bear with me as I read this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Those of you that have your Bibles, you have your place? Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:50, I'm on verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Sounds like a lot of jargon, I'll explain it. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If I was to focus on one verse in that passage between verses 50 to 57, the one thing that we want to walk away from that motivates us to be faithful and standing for Christ and serving Christ as God's people on mission for Him is in verse 53. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. What is God doing? When we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, He forgives us of all of our sin, past, present, and future. We become cleansed. Our sins are washed away. The Father sees the applied blood of Christ applied to our faith in Him. The Father sees us clean through the blood of Christ that has taken away our sin. So our souls are clean. Our souls are right. Our souls are pleasing and acceptable to the Father by our faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. So our soul is secure and saved. And when we die, we go to heaven. But that's not the end of the story, is it? Because in the second part it says, and this mortal must put on immortality. Our bodies will die unless Christ comes before we do. Our bodies will die. That's the immortal or the mortal body that perishes. But we must put on the immortality or the immortal body. That means we will put on a new body that is everlasting. A new body that doesn't have sickness or sorrow or death or even sinful nature, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God saves our souls, cleans our souls in that sense that we are made clean and right with the Father, and then He'll complete that work when we all receive that new resurrected body without a sinful nature that will live forever without any pain or suffering. That's the promise that God has set before us. And that's why in verse 58 it says, therefore, according to what we just went over, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Look at what God is doing. That should motivate. We're saved and He has a great promise for us. And it's secured in Christ Jesus. That should be our motivation to stand firm. That should be our motivation to be immovable as believers in Christ. That should be our motivation to always be abounding. That doesn't mean a little trinkle here and a little trinkle there. It means that each one of us is called of God to abound in serving Him. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So no matter what our circumstances that we face in life or our culture, society, or in our personal life, whatever the case, God expects us to stay firm, don't move on our faith, always abound in doing work and service to Him that is abundant and glorifying to Him. And our motivation is because of what God has done for us and is doing and bringing to completion. Amen? Do we get that? Do we understand what I'm saying? That's very important for us to understand that. So our service is valuable to God. And it reflects the promised hope that we have in Christ Jesus. But I also want to look at 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. Which says this. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. It's like that piece of paper that was painted with glue. And it dried, and now it's stiff and firm and stands. God has not given us a spirit of fear. God does not want us to live that way. But He's given us power and love and a sound mind. If Satan can trick us as believers in Christ to live in fear, he's robbed us of the sound mind that God wants us to have in Him. And that sound mind will help us to evaluate how we're living for, serving Him, and being the person or people that God has called us to be. If fear has overwhelmed us in any circumstance, it is not from God. If we are overcome by fear, it is not from God. And we need to remember that. We need to evaluate that, because I'll be honest with you, the circumstances, especially on the onset of what we've been going through in America, all the unrest within our culture and all the things that are going on, it's upsetting to all of us, but if we allow it, it can grow into something that creates fear. But if we stand firm on the rock, Stand firm in our faith. Stand firm on the focus of the mission that God has set before us, to reflect Him, to share His love, and to present the marvelous promise of hope that God gives to all that put their faith in Him as their Savior. A hope of eternal life, their souls are saved, a hope of a new body that will never have pain, suffering, sorrow, death, or sickness, that will live forever and serving the Lord. If fear has overwhelmed us in any circumstance, again, it is not from God. A life crippled by fear is a life oppressed by the enemy. A life crippled by fear is a life crippled or oppressed by the enemy. So stand in God's power. Let God's love in you take action in your lives. Our love for God will automatically produce action in our lives that will bring glory to God. Fear relinquishes your self-control because we get so overwhelmed with the circumstance that we lose grip of life. Fear relinquishes your self-control. A sound mind retains mental and spiritual clarity. If we have mental and spiritual clarity in any given circumstance because we choose to stand by faith on God and His Word, being empowered by Him to be the people He's called us to be, then we will see clearly how God wants us to serve Him and be His people in any circumstance. We know other countries around the world have underground churches at great risk. We're not there. Praise God for that. But know this, they chose to continue to serve Him on mission and regroup. How they would do that with a clear mind, not crippled by fear. And that's who you and I are called to be. We're to have mental and spiritual clarity. It is God who makes us strong. Stand in Him. And finally, be that formidable force, that presence of power and stability, that formidable force. It's an attack or an approach of something powerful against something else. Let us as the church stand firm as not movable in the eyes of the world that we live in, but one that is powerful in Christ Jesus. Be that formidable force in Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank You for each one here. Father, help us to digest this. Help us to remember to stand firm and to not live in fear and to have the clarity of mind and spirit that we will be able to discern from You and in a very clear way how You want us to stand and be Your people, how You want us to continue to carry out the mission that You've set before us, the Great Commission, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world around us, that Jesus died on the cross for all men's sin, all mankind, everybody's sin, out of genuine love for them, that He was buried and on the third day He rose from the grave and He's alive in heaven today, and that He wants to live alive in the hearts of all people, and that people simply need to acknowledge Jesus Christ, repent of their sins, and ask Him to come live in their hearts, and He will. So may the gospel be upheld, and may it be carried out by Your people, and may You be glorified, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.